many could share a testimony in regards to that of how God has changed them. But I want to look at the Apostle Paul and the verse where he literally says the same thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 9. It says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." What we see here is Paul declaring what God has done in his life. And where this fits in the context of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is arguing for the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how it fits in the gospel message. It's a key part. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel message. And then he explains how he, in verse 8, saw the resurrected Christ. And that resurrected Christ and the grace of God in his life completely transformed him and made him into something he never thought he could be. Here he was persecuting the church of God. He thought he was doing God a favor. He was so blinded, so mixed up, but God met with him and God saved him and transformed him. And so this morning, something we all ought to be thankful for is the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God. We see that here. It's his unmerited favor. Paul was nothing special. In fact, he didn't deserve God's grace just like any of us. This morning I was texting a man who is unsaved, pretty rough character in many regards. I know some of his past. I do some work with him, and he owns a concrete company, and so we get a lot of concrete from him. But I've been over time developing a relationship with him, and this morning he texted me something, and I texted him, and I said, "I'm thankful for God's grace, because we certainly don't deserve it." And he's like, "That sounds good, but why do you think you don't deserve it?" And I responded and said, "Well, according to the Bible, what we deserve is immediate judgment. And anything short of that is God's grace." And he's like, "That makes sense." And I'm just thinking about how God, even in his life, can transform him. But he's done that for us. And we need to be so thankful this morning for God's grace. As Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And friends, this morning, it's by the grace of God that any of us can stand and say, "God's worked in my life, and that's why I'm where I'm at today." We all know there's more to go. Paul admits that there's more to go. He had a long way to grow and keep growing in Christ. But he said, "The reason I'm here today with the past that I've had is simply the grace of God." Amen. And we can all recognize that. And so I want us to notice just a couple things about the grace of God, and then we'll be done. God's grace makes us what we never thought we could be. We see that here. God's grace works in our lives. In one way, it gives us eternal life, for by grace are you saved through faith. That moment of salvation is God's grace. It's his unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We deserve judgment, but in his love and mercy, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to give us eternal life, to give us salvation. But friends, it doesn't stop there. That's what the life in John 10, where it says that he came to give us not only life, but abundant life. And so God's grace gives us eternal life, but God's grace gives us abundant life. The same grace that gives us eternal life is the same grace that we need to walk the Christian life and to grow in grace. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Paul labored and ministered in the grace of God. He's saying that was the key, not only for my salvation, but it's the key for where I am and who I am right now and where I'm going in my life and my laboring for the Lord. So he recognized that the grace of God was everything. And many gave testimonies this morning and thanked God for this and that. And it could all be boiled down to God's grace, his goodness in our lives, and how thankful we ought to be. And we ought to connect it in our minds. This is just God's grace. We don't deserve it. But one thing I notice here in this verse is that Paul, he was very thankful for the grace of God. But there's a couple things that, as a result of that thankfulness for the grace of God, that were true in his life. First of all, we see that he was humble because of the grace of God. The grace of God, if we're thankful for it, will keep us humble. Because in verse 9, he says, you could almost see at the end of verse 9, him just dropping his head, thinking, how could I have ever done that? He persecuted the church of God, Christ. And that's what he's saying here. I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle. He's like, the fact that I'm called an apostle, this person that has seen the resurrected Christ, he couldn't get over it because of what he had done, because I had persecuted the church of God. You could see him just hanging his head. But then he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So God's grace will keep us humble. And if we get to a place of pride in our life and we're cocky about what God has done in our, where we are in our spiritual journey, and we're kind of looking at others and thinking, I can't believe they haven't grown as fast as I have, or I can't believe they're not where I stand. We need a good dose of humility from God's grace. Recognize who you are, and that it was nothing of yourselves. It's just you, you taking the grace of God. It wasn't you doing anything in and of yourself. It was you availing yourself of the grace of God to be saved and then to grow in His grace. And so we need to stay humble as a result of God's grace, because it's unmerited. It's not anything we do. As Paul says here, the grace of God that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. All right. He took the grace of God. We have an opportunity to do that for not only for salvation, but in our day-to-day life, God offers grace enabling that we have to take. In Hebrews 12:15, it talks about failing the grace of God. And as Christians, we can fail the grace of God that He offers us and choose to ignore His grace and enabling and do it in our own strength. But it ought to keep us humble about what God has done. And the second thing, God's grace, if we're thankful for it, will keep us laboring for the Lord. Look what he says here. But verse 10, I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, if you, in the immediate context there, there's a little comparison. He's making a couple analogies with him versus all the other apostles. All the other apostles, none of them were persecuting the church of God. And in some ways, he's saying, all these other apostles had different upbringings and different, they spent much time with Christ. I just barely got to meet Christ. And yet, because of that, I'm going to labor more abundantly. Because of my past and all the things that I have done with my life, it was motivating him to live and labor more abundantly than anyone else for the work of the Lord. And that's why we know Paul. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of other apostles, but Paul is the most prominent one, wrote much of the New Testament. And, when we think about New Testament authors, Paul almost automatically comes to mind. And yet, think of his past and how God worked in his life, brought him to salvation, changed him, and became one of the greatest apostles. And he labored more abundantly. And what the grace of God ought to do in our life, it ought to keep us humble. And it ought to keep us laboring for the Lord. Amen. Saying, wow, I don't deserve all the goodness of God. So the least I can do is labor for him with his strength. I love how the balance is here. It's not just Paul laboring. It's him, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It's him laboring with the grace of God. Yeah. Not in his own strength. And so there's that beautiful balance there. But this ought to be the same story for each of us. When we talk to other people, it's just the grace of God that I am who I am. And because of that, we ought to be humble and we ought to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, as we close, think about these things and ask yourself, as it says in verse 10, the grace of God which is bestowed upon you, is it in vain? For Paul, it was not in vain. He took the grace of God. Not only in salvation, but in his Christian life. And maybe you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ. God's pouring his grace upon you. Are you going to let that be in vain? Or are you going to take that gift of salvation and be saved? As a Christian, God's grace is there for us, for the taking. But we can choose to labor in our own strength to do the Christian life in our own strength, or we can avail ourselves of the grace of God. And friends, that's how, like Paul, we keep going forward and we stay humble and keep laboring for the Lord. That's why at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, he closes, therefore, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What an opportunity to labor for the one who did it all for us. And so may we be humble and labor for the Lord in these days ahead. May God help us to be thankful for his grace. Because truly, it's only through his grace that we are what we are. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this testimony of Paul, the apostle. And I pray that we would all have this same heart. Just amazed that your grace has worked in our lives and what it's accomplished in our lives. How it's brought us from a life that is unrecognizable in many cases now. And so, Lord, we pray that the grace of God would just keep us humble, keep us laboring for the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.